It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Feared, you know, Jack Gregson. I wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to comment on this. We've dropped in the interest rate that the 30-year Treasury is paying has gone down, you know, almost 20%. Okay, I mean it's like, I don't know, 15 to 20%, and that interest rate, what it does, it went down. You know, when Europe started their, oh my goodness, and the big giant stock fall, 1,000-point kind of, woohoo, we got to put our money somewhere. Well, it's easy to kind of just transfer it over into treasuries. You know, they just go, we'll go over here. Why? You think, are you really counting on the United States government paying off their treasuries in 30 years? I mean, is that your bet? So they're going, no, it's like somebody will buy it, you know, and sometime they'll BS somebody. So it's just a flight to quality, you know, is what they're saying. Well, that's relative. Well, then they passed their version of the TARP, their bailout for Europe, and it jumped back up, you know, and then boom, it went back down again. Why? Because it didn't work. Because in Europe, they're going, yeah, man, I'm not feeling warm fuzzy about this. We'll go back over here. Well, what does that, you know, mean? They're buying up treasuries because they consider the U.S. dollar to be relatively safer than that. And if we're safe, we're screwed, man. If this is your version of safe, you know, so it's still, is that what that means? I mean, what am I looking at here?
No, you're right. It means that there are so many buyers of treasuries, they don't have to jack up the interest rates to get more buyers. They've got all they need. And so the interest rates are dropping because there's so many buyers.
Well, here we're looking at gold. It's down to 1179. I mean, you know, it's still 1179, but, you know, it was up to 12. It was like, it was $100 more than that, you know.
It was about 1250.
So we're taking a, let's take a look at silver. Well, we're looking at silver, and it's down to 1762. It gets below 17, I'm going to buy more. I'm going to go sell a TV or something.
Well, you have to keep it in perspective. Back in January of 2009, it was about $10.30 or $11 an ounce.
You know, you can look at the histories here. Let's go ahead and do that, because that was part of the a lot of the allegations of manipulation by J.P. Morgan.
Right.
You know, they're going, and the final gavel on that one hasn't come out yet neither, because they're going, man, there is somebody, because when it goes up like this, you know they're going to do it. You know, there's something, because if you look back as early as, let's see, you go back in 05, it was below, it was, you know, 8.57, what were we looking at here, about $8.50, all the way up until about January of 06. Then it started going up and down, up and down, up and down, and now we're at 17 or something. That's twice what it was. So we're like, you know, 100%, you know, from what, 4 years ago? 100% 4 years ago, 100%. You know, that's, we should take notice of that, I think. Does anybody even, you know, recognize that that's something to like, hello? I mean, let's take a look at that. Well, 10 year ago, what was it in 05 at the same time? It was under $400 or $300 something. You know, $300 something, $400, let's say, and now 12, what is that? That's, 300%. You know, I think silver is going to, it's been kind of, you know, manipulated more than the rest. And that comes from a lot of people I trust, and kind of the duh factor. So if I go like this, I gave a speech to thousands. I was probably 3,000-4,000 people up in Prescott at a big tea party there. And when was that? Oh, it was not too long ago. So I go up there. If you go to YouTube, put Ernest Hancock Prescott Tea Party, and it'll come up, or Ernest Hancock Tea Party. You see all my Tea Party speeches. And I went up and I told them, blah, 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 a lot of stuff that we talked about on the show. I'll try and be nice. I just, there's no sense to, scare the living crap out of them other than to say, I go, look, I mean, the economy, let me tell you what the deal is. Get out of the stock market, buy silver. I mean, blah, 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 get out of the stock market, buy silver. Well, a lot of times they'll say, well, the stock market can go to 20, 30, 50,000, and it may. I mean, that's inflation. When we go to hyperinflation, it may very well do that very thing. Of course, gold may go to $50,000 an ounce, but, and that's one thing that Peter Schiff has really been hammering on. He's saying the Dow and gold will meet. And they're just giving him a hard time. I can't believe you said, he goes, hey, man, it's going to be 5,000, 5,000, 10,000, whatever. Sooner or later, the down goal will meet. What's your view on that?
I agree with that. I think that they've suppressed it so long. They continued to suppress it.
With fraud?
With fraud. I was expecting this pullback. But let's just see where it is 6 months from now. I think people are going to have a very different view of gold and silver 6 months from now, and treasuries. Just knowing that 40% of the banks are going to go under, and you've got 7 million homeowners are going to default within 18 months. And the prices for commercial real estate are dropping again. Same with regular real estate.
Yeah, that hasn't even happened yet. This commercial real estate thing, when that starts to go, man, it's going to get ugly.
It's off 43%, but it's going to crash.
Yeah, but they haven't liquidated.
No, not yet.
They may sell. They're better. Some people are like rather get something than nothing. But a lot of this commercial real estate, big ones, they're owned by large institutions. They're supposed to be, your annuity is safe. Your life insurance is safe. We invest in commercial real estate. We're stable.
But let's talk about CalPERS. That's the California retirement fund. And they're broke. They were expecting real estate to continue going up and up, and for the Dow to hit 28,000. They're massively in debt. They're not going to be able to pay off their retirees. I mean, this is really something that the states have to worry about.
This is what is going on in Greece right now. It's an austerity package, or we're going to cut this and do this so that they'll loan us the money, and we're going to tax you more. We're going to, all this stuff because we need to feed the bank machine more. It's like a reverse ATM. You walk by and it sucks everything out of your wallet. So there are people in the street screaming, you're taking our goodies and all this kind of stuff, and we want more and you can't cut. And I'm not really sure. They're not going to be clear about what their real motivations are. If you aren't them and you're not there, you don't know. But imagine what would happen when the state of California just defaults on their pensions, or what they're more likely going to do is they're just going to print a boatload of money and they'll just pay them with inflated dollars. And it'll just start, inflation will go, okay, you want all your money, fine, we're going to pay you off. How much is it? $50,000, we'll round up to $100,000 in our $100,000 notes now, and we'll give it to you and you can go buy two loaves of bread. Now, that's what's going to happen. They don't have a choice. This is not something that, might maybe someday, if we don't get a control on it. No, it's done. It's already baked in the cake. That's what they mean by it. It's already baked. It's done. It's finished. Here it is. Hello. We got frosting on it and everything. It's all done. The only other option is for them to repudiate it and say, yeah, we're not giving it to you. Have a nice day. It's been real. We lied. But you can't. We lied. But you're not going to, we lied. Or they do the inflationary thing and inflation goes crazy. What are they going to be doing? They're going to be screaming for the government to save them. Pass more stuff. Do something. Blame somebody. There's got to be an immigrant around here somewhere. California, there's a lot of immigrants to blame. Let's get them. They're the ones that did it. Did they? I mean, is that the issue? Yeah. See, I understand. I've been following this for a long time. You know, not just, you know, from a, you know, a principal perspective. I mean, just from the history. Here in Arizona, illegal immigration has been a weapon, a tool for the people that take advantage of them for decades. This is something that, you know, the Goldwater family was involved in. You know, something that the Republican machine was involved in. Because a lot of people don't know, Arizona is usually number one in cotton production. We are number two or three in oranges. And a lot of agriculture, you see our state seal, it's mining and agriculture. Because you know what? You add water to 300 and something days of sunshine, you get stuff growing. That's what happens. And year round. So this is, you know, we have a big agricultural community, and they were taking advantage of Hispanics since they take buses down there, load them up, come over, have them pick the citrus and go, hey, it sucks to be you. What are you going to do about it? We're not paying. You know, this happened for generations. It's not we think we know. We've been living this. What's it really about? About numbering the cattle. Watch what you ask for. You just might get it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence, where the mission is possible. It's impossible for some people, not for us. Let me tell you what the mission is that they're trying to convince us of. Oh, man, it just keeps getting... I wonder if the people, if the students see it the same way we do. This is what's going on. UC Berkeley is requesting DNA samples from incoming students. They're just requesting. Yeah, you don't mind. It'd be all good. These are your genes. These are your genes on alcohol. Berkeley's incoming freshmen will get DNA tests instead of summer reading assignments and a program meant to educate students about healthy behaviors. Okay. The new freshmen will be given cotton swabs, which they'll dab their cheeks, you know, inside. That's where they get some cells from, I guess. They'll be collected and anonymously analyzed, showing the students' ability to tolerate alcohol, absorb folic acid, metabolize lactose. So they're saying that they can track what your predisposition is to different activities, you know, and they're just saying, yeah, no, it's anonymous. They're just getting you used to it. Ain't no thing. And, you know, wow. You know, it reminds you of, you know, bad science fiction movies from the 70s. You know, this stuff that, you know, I watched, just a month ago or so. I think I still have it from Netflix. I got THX 1138. You know, I think that's what it's called. It was Robert Duvall back in his youngin' days, and it was the first main film done by George Lucas, you know, of Star Wars fame. And when I watched what was interesting is I also later I watched the director commentary to the movie. I was going to sleep and I just go to sleep with the TV. I just put it on. Yeah, I want to hear what they have to say about it. And it was enough to keep me up the whole time because what it was is they were talking about how Hollywood was starting to, you know, invest in, we're going to give this a try. You know, this 60 thing, we don't understand the 60s and 70s and the angst of the youth and all this popularity of like Hunter Thompson and his stuff and this concern about the state and the hippie movement and yada, yada, yada. So they're like, there's a market. We're missing something. We don't have a total beat on this. We don't get it. And they didn't understand. So George Lucas knew that. You know, this is his only chance. He was going to get to make the movie he wanted to. Of course, I don't think it was a big financial success, except later on as it became so prophetic. And it was about this underground community that was totally controlled and their drug violations and when you didn't take their drugs. You know, there was a more contemporary movie called Equilibrium that was done a few years ago that I saw. It was the same kind of concept. It's like, look, man, you're not proper citizen of the society unless you are taking your proper dosage of drugs to put you in the right state, the right frame of mind. You watch that 1138 now, and you go, wow, man, did they peg? Wow. All it takes is an imagination, and you just follow a thread. There are those that just won't leave you alone. Well, how far will they go? The one thing that's interesting to me throughout history, and certainly as we got into the scientific, you know, I want to say era. I mean, when they started to realize all the things since Star Trek, you know, since you just thinking of all the things that you can do, and with chemicals and with electromagnetic waves in the brain and with scents and with, you know, all kinds of whatever. We get the musk scent of the whatever, and all of a sudden every female wants to jump you. You know, and you'll look at this and you'll go, yeah, you don't think so? I walk into, my kids are in high school. I walk into their bathroom. It was a toxic cloud of crap. You know, they'll show commercials of guys with 2X antiperspirant body spray scent things just sitting there clouding himself as women are running after him. You know, and I'm like, wow, how can you not be affected by this toxic cloud? In a little bathroom, they're just spraying all this stuff and more goop on their skin and their hair and their makeup. And I'm like, whoa, freaking time out. Go to your end of the house. You do that. I mean, dang. And you do your best. You send them little links. You give them a little information. Here, read this. Oh, dad. I'm just doing my dad thing. You read this, whatever. So hopefully, I think it kind of had an impact on them later. You know, they're like, yeah, maybe I wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. But this is when you start having the mindset that you can do something. If you're the government, there's no moral opposition. I mean, you don't go, oh, I shouldn't do that. No, they'll do whatever they can if they think it can maintain, enhance, expand their intrusiveness and influence, scope over your life, get you to do what they want you to do. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff coming up. What we got here? Here's another one I saw Donna put up. Researchers achieve quantum teleportation over 10 miles of empty space. Scientists in China have broken the record for quantum teleportation, achieving a distance of about 10 miles, according to a new study in Nature Photonics. Okay, that sounds like a transporter. That seems kind of cool. What the heck does that mean? Let's see what it says. Let's see. According to a new study, that's a giant leap from previous achievements. The feat brings us closer to communicating information without needing a traditional signal transmission. Although it's called teleportation, no matter is really moved. Rather, the quantum state of one object is transferred to another object. It works by entangling two objects, like photons or ions. The first teleportation experiments involve beams of light. Once the objects are entangled, they're connected by an invisible wave, like a thread or umbilical cord. That means when something is done to one object, it immediately happens to the other object, too. Einstein called this spooky action at a distance. Until now, this has only been achieved with particles that are at most a couple of hundred feet apart, and those distances have been accomplished with fiber channels, which help preserve the photon state. So what they're saying is that they're able to put the characteristic of one object in with another without any wires or anything. It's quantum teleportation of what? I don't know. 10 miles of it. Okay. What does that mean? I have no idea. But it's worth looking into. I mean, I can go read the rest of the article, but this is how this stuff starts. You'll look at this kind of stuff. I've been reading science magazines for a long time, you know, science fiction based on science. And you look at this. When I was in my late teens, early 20s, for about 4 years there, I didn't have a television. I moved out, and all I wanted to do was read. I mean, all my spare time I read. I read the Bible straight through. I read a lot of books. I read historical fiction. I read a lot of Michener and Clavell and Trevanian and all these guys. You know, you learn about the founding of Hong Kong, about Japanese culture. You learn about the Civil War, the founding of South Africa. You learn about the exploration of the South Pacific. You learn about Hawaii. You learn about, I mean, all this, you know, just from reading. What do the young people do now? They read, but it's internet. It's peer-to-peer communication. It's what they think is important. You know, are they thinking the right stuff is important? I don't know. The young people that I associate with do. You know, because they come down here. You know, they go, wow, man, we had no idea. Does that represent a large percentage of the population? It represents enough. You go down to Arizona State University here. We have a lot. We're really excited this coming year. Because last year was the first time that we had freshmen and sophomores that were heading up a lot of little freedom organizations. Usually by the time that we got hold of them, or they came to the Libertarian Party, or they come to other activists and so on, or they find out about me and, you know, what my willingness to help or listen to my radio program, they were already juniors and seniors. So we're like, you know, yeah, you know, you get them for a semester or two, and then they're off. Now we're getting them younger. They're starting to come in. They're coming out of high school. They're coming from doing stuff in high school and going to college. There's a fundamental shift in this society. It's not your daddy's Buick, man. I mean, there's something else going on. Here's another story. Is your car safe from hackers? Interconnected computer systems provide openings for attackers. The more and more integrated your cars get, now, you know, they're playing MP3s. You have an onboard computer. I mean, you can actually act, you know, keyboard, mouses, all kinds of stuff inside the computer, playing your DVDs for your kids, all this kind of stuff. All of a sudden, you're going, hey, man, my car got hacked. Well, what's the ramification of that? Well, you're already being OnStar hacked by the man. What did you think was coming?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, we got to rumble. Who are we going to rumble with? Let's find somebody we need somebody to rumble with. I got to find somebody to rumble with. Who are we going to rumble with? Oh, it's North Korea today. You know what? It was end of March, March 26th, that you had a South Korean ship that was sunk by, we don't know. But they're going, what are they saying is happening? They're going, oh, man, the North did it. Well, the North, of course, they're going, uh-uh. And it's over Yellow Sea, kind of, you know, this is ours, no, it is, ouch, quit it, you know, back and forth, whatever. Then all of a sudden, you have a ship sinks. Well, you know, how'd that happen? Well, they do an investigation, they raise up, they get scrapped, they go and they said, you know, this is pieces of a North Korean torpedo. Well, how do you know that? Well, it said the markings in Korea's Hangul script were found on salvage parts and matched markings on a stray North Korean torpedo recovered by the South 7 years ago. Because we have one. Wasn't that one. If we just know that it was, they did it because it matched the one that we got. Oh, man, it just gets weirder. So then you have Al Jazeera's reporting that it's a Middle East news agency. And this is probably, I don't know how big a news this is, you know, because I don't watch the lamestream media. I'm just, you know, there's always something they're trying to, you know, use it to twist you into something. But the big thing is North Korea is going, look, man, you put more sanctions on us, we'll go to war. I don't know for what or what benefit that's going to be. We're going to go to war with who, what, how, you know, is China going to get involved? Is this where it starts? We got, you know, North and South Korea. We have, you know, one language, one people, and it's separated by, you know, whatever capitalist, I mean, really, ist, some ist, you know, the Western countries and another ist, you know, on the front, you know, it's ism, you know, this ism versus that ism. And but North Korea, they definitely got some problems because of their more totalitarian, authoritarian government. They all of a sudden they ran out of food. You know why? You know they keep taking from everybody that's producing to give to what? You know they rattle their sabers saying we're doing we got nuclear missiles. Oh, by the way, we're going to test it. Oh, I'm sorry. Did it fly over Japan? God, that must suck to be Japanese. And it goes off in the Pacific, and they go, yeah. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, and. And so they, you know, been testing this, doing it, rattling their saber. Maybe they remember they were the Axis of Evil, which was who? You know, it was, of course, Iraq, North Korea, and what was the other one? I don't know, Afghanistan or Iran or something. They threw somebody in there. I can't remember. So they always got three. It's always three deep. Because when they, you know, somebody dies or gets killed off or they're not enemy anymore, you got to have a couple backups. All right, now, it's always in threes. So that's one thing I just noticed. So then they have the North Korea is going, look, man, you put more sanctions on us. You go to the United Nations, and we're gonna do something. What? Steve Chow, Al Jazeera's correspondent in the South Korean capital, said the report had major implications in terms of North-South relations as well as the region. The South Korean president is expected to approach the UN Security Council to call for tighter sanctions against the North. As what? You know, for a punitive something, I'm not really sure the benefit. I mean, why don't you just go to war with them? I mean, that's basically what you're doing. A call that is already seeing support from Seoul's allies. In recent days, the South Korean government has been presenting this evidence to a number of countries to gather support. We've already heard support from strong allies such as Australia, the U.S., and Japan. The North Korean National Defense Commission, in a statement on the official news agency, said it will send its own investigators to the South to check the purported evidence, which they should let them. I mean, you know, I would think so. Our army and people will promptly react to any punishment and retaliation and to any sanctions infringing upon our state interest with various forms of tough measures, including an all-out war. Okay. So we're going to have that thing, you know, out there. And the U.S. is rolling this thing. We got tens of thousands of troops sitting on the North-South Korean border. Heck, they did a James Bond movie based on it. Remember? You know, the little sun zapper machine or whatever it was? You know, I'm okay. You know, here we go again. Well, the one thing that I thought was interesting is the United States, to get the North Koreans to quit bragging about they got nuclear weapons and missiles, is that we send them more food. Remember that? Oh, no, we're going, okay, maybe we won't. Maybe we sent them a bunch of food. That go to the Korean people, starving. No, it went to the Korean military. Well, you give it to the state. You know, what is it? It's always, you know, poor people in rich countries, you know, giving their money up so they can give it to rich people in poor countries. This is what they do. And we're supposed to what? It's this foreign policy thing is just jacked up. I'm, you know, wow. And then, you know, you have enough problems here at home. I wanted to finish on this hacking in your car because you'll like this. The researchers found, among other things, an attacker could disable the vehicle's brakes, stop its engine, or take control of its door locks. All the attacker needs is access to the federally mandated onboard diagnostics port located under the dashboard in almost all cars today. There's a federally mandated diagnostic port into your car's computer. Yay. You know, you can't make this stuff up. And a lot of people, they go, yeah, so? Why is it mandated? And why is it, you know, there to give... I mean, you know, I could see why a car manufacturer would want to put in their own diagnostic. You know, I would like one. You know, but if it's federally mandated, I guarantee it's to some kind of spec. Gives them access. They want to know what's in there, how to do it, a little encryption kind of whatever, clipper chip in fax machines, printers, such as that ring a bell. You know, we've talked about this before on the show, but I don't think a lot of people know. When you use a color printer, it puts little dots that you can't see on there. Now, if you just, you know, run a blank sheet of paper through a printing, a color printer, and you know what to look for, it's really light yellow. You can see these little dots that you normally can't tell, and if you got some kind of glasses or you get it right angle, you can see them. Well, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a few years ago, they deciphered it. What it is a code. It tells you what the serial number is and when it was printed. And there's some other information on there, too, because it's so many dots in a column in certain positions. And you could look it up, you know, hidden color printer code. You know, I'll do it right now. You know, hidden color printer code. And I'll put EFF because it's Electronic Frontier Foundation. Yep, here we go. DocuColor Tracking Dot Decoding Guide. Okay. They put this up and they show you these little dots you can see, and then they give you the pattern. It shows you in the orientation of what they are. It gives the date and the serial number of the printer. So they know what printer this came off of. and when it was done. So let's say you make a bunch of copies, you're going down to some protest, and you put them out. They're going to find out. Well, how do they know? Did you buy your printer with a credit card? That serial number of that printer is linked to your credit card. This is what they were talking about, having all this information out there. And what happens when you register your software? Oh, do you want to register? Remind me later. I'll let you, surveil me later. This is, and it says, the illumination is from the lower right to the upper and lower left of the image. The corners of another repetition of dot grid are visible. Here we use computer graphics software to overlay the black dots in the microscope image with larger yellow dots for greater visibility. Okay, so it's little black dots. All right. Because these computer-generated dots are significantly larger than the original dots, this image is no longer to scale and is now a schematic representation of relative positions of the dots. So anyway, they just, put these yellow dots, for the illustration here on top of the black dots so they could show how they read the code. Did you know this? Did you understand it? Do you know why it works? This is stuff that we don't know. I mean, they're not telling you. I mean, you hear about this, amongst all the Britney Spears and, Pamela Anderson stuff on Fox. How do we deal with this information? What do we do with it? Who do we share it with? How does it have an effect on us? Now, these young kids, they know this stuff. They are the source of a lot of this information. They're the ones that send me this stuff. What generation, what good is the older generations in trying to understand where the real threats are? Who do I count on? Who do you count on? Is it news media? Are the politicians? It's going to start getting to where we have to count on ourselves. And I'll do the best I can to just let you know that there are some, not answers to whatever question, but what question to even ask? Do you even know the question? I know the answer. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Freedom's the answer. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Come inside. I tell you what's perfect for that rejoiner. It was a, and we'll see. Maybe we'll play it here. I'm getting the network to kind of take a look before they yell at me. Because it was we had a conversation today. Jack Gregson, we were talking, he's our economics columnist on Freedom's Phoenix, and he was in today. And he said something to me. He was watching the news, and a lot of the guys, I just don't have time. I don't want to pollute my brain with all their crap. I do so much research. Anytime I do anything on, for 7 years I've been doing radio, and for 5 years we've been doing Freedom's Phoenix. And I'll tell you, any information that I find on there predates by days, even weeks, what you see on the news. I mean, the actual truth, we'll put it up there, and it could be, from New York Times or Washington Post or Wired Magazine or freaking local newspaper or whatever, it doesn't matter. We just, whether I believe it's accurate or not, it's just, this is what's going on, kind of give you, the buzz that's out there. And then, of course, we'll have, good writers that will give, the truth on it and so on. So you got to make up your own mind. But what happens is he was saying, this, whenever it's bad news, it's the environment or, blown up war, this. They always got the robo-babes up there. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. It's getting more and more TNA. Tell you about a plane crash with a gleam in my eye. So he's going, it's really distracting. Is that on purpose? So you'll watch this stuff? I go, oh, man, don't think you're the only one that noticed this. And I remembered one that we had fun with on the air, and we played it on the radio and so on, and it was from The Daily Show. Jon Stewart and Samantha Bee. They're saying, yeah, that's funny as heck, but I don't know. We shouldn't play it because it's real edgy. I tell you what I'll do. I'll put the link on today's archive. You can go to freedomsphoenix.com and you'll go ahead and just, click on today's archive and I'll put it in there. You can go ahead and just, click on it and watch it. But I'll tell you what it's about. Samantha Bee is one of the female reporters, and the point that she's making is, I'll put it right at the top here so you'll see it. And what she's saying is, hey, the news is all about, the news I'd like to fondle, okay, for lack of a better word. So it's because you got mothers, so the thing is that they're making fun of this appearance standard that they have of all the newscasters that's on, given, tell you about a plane crash with a gleam in my eye. And it's a distraction. I'm not sure if it's to sell bad news or to make watching it. It's a lot of bad news. You keep watching because you got the super babe on there. And the one thing that she was making note of, and she goes, well, if you want the new saucy, kind of young, ooh, babe, you go to Fox. If you want the more sultry, a little bit more mature kind of, you go to MSNBC. If you want the spicy kind of, CNN. And she was making a point. And what was so funny about it is that she was really making a point. This is, and it was noticed, and this was done in, when was this done? This was back in May 16, 2007. So this is 3 years ago. 3 years ago, where you have comedians making a point that is only funny when it's true. What's the truth? We know the truth. We know the truth. What is that truth? That you're being manipulated. But then you look at the other side. You have the NewsHour. You go to the PBS and so on, and now in HD. Well, that was a mistake. You go to, and you have the same old guys up there doing whatever, and older gals and everything, and you're seeing every freaking wrinkle, man. You can't get a trowel enough of makeup on there to, pull that one off. But, is that what you're really going for? Whatever, just start talking. That one guy blinks all the time. Whatever. Is he saying something worth listening to? I rarely watch, everything they're saying, is half truths or from a perspective that doesn't really tell you what's going on. So it's just aggravating. So I don't waste the time. Every now and then I'll do that when something's going on, like the bank closures, like what Jack's talking about with Europe going down. I'll go, okay. I get up, I open my eyes. It's Sunday morning. All right, flip on the TV, see the Monday morning, Meet the Press and Face the Nation and, BS, De La Status, whatever, Washington stuff. And I find C-SPAN more popular. C-SPAN is very popular. There's a lot of good stuff on C-SPAN if you're really interested in what they're actually saying. Because, like the National Libertarian Conventions, our conventions, certainly the presidential ones, presidential years, C-SPAN covers them. I don't know if they'll cover this one, but it's, C-SPAN, they cover some stuff that normally you wouldn't see anywhere else. So I just want the people to have their BS filter on. There was a picture I remember. It was an older guy wearing a VFW hat, like he was a veteran of foreign war. And he was at a Republican convention, and it was kind of a rip on Bush. And he had, they called them BS detectors. And there's these yellow kind of ear things that went over your ears and on it that say, BS detector, And so that's kind of, that stuff's not funny unless you know they're being BS'd. That stuff's not, none of this stuff is funny if it's not really true. It's only funny when it's true. The comedian is a riot when you know you've done the same thing. That's when it's funny. So I'm, and I wish I could play this for you, but it's kind of, you know, it's sensitive ears need not apply. But you go check it out on Freedom's Phoenix. You go to today's afternoon show, and I put it at the top. You just click on the link right now, and you go in there, and it says The Daily Show. Watch Wednesday, May 16, 2007. It has, you just watch that, and then you'll understand. It's a conscious effort. They're looking at different demographics that they're appealing to based on whatever audience they're going for. So or something else, I don't know. I mean, why do you think Katie Couric took over for Dan Rather? And what was the big thing? When she first started, there was two things that they did. One, she was going to go around the country, and she's going to sit down with people and have her little town hall things, and it's going to be all unbridled and come meet and talk and give your opinion and everything, and that lasted about one time. Oh, heck no. And people were putting, no, this didn't work out the way we thought. And the other thing that they were doing is talking about how much she spends time in the gym. Got to make sure you get some leg. Well, she's like, I mean, her whole thing, she'd go on David Letterman, the whole deal about her, oh, she's staying in shape, and she's got to go keep them legs in shape and part of her contract and deal and not be party. That was, you know, I mean, Katie Couric versus Dan Rather. Okay, I guess I'd rather watch her, but ratings didn't, they went in the toilet. So what happens? They go on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And what does he do? He's making fun of him. Oh, how the ratings ain't working out. Yeah. I don't know. Well, none of your people be watching you. Don't they go to bed by now? Because they're on late, you know, and they have a youth audience. They are very jealous of The Daily Show's demographic because they represent the future. They're young people. Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, oh, man, they kept us sane during the Bush years, and from 2003 or so to 2008, around in there. I mean, I was like, oh, man, it's, you know, somebody's saying it. But then they went big-time communist on this health care, just pushed it like you went all over it. You know, and the global warming thing, I could have done without, but whatever. They're calling BS on, you know, both sides of the aisle. That's cool. You know, they had a lot of good stuff. We used to play them all the time. But now it's they've really went in with the Obama, because Jon Stewart used to be big, giant McCain supporter. Had him on a lot of times. When I was running against him in 2004, we were going down one time. John and I and the Democrat were at the Arizona Republic going for an editorial board, and he had just been on Jon Stewart. And I was talking to him. I go, how'd you hook that up? How the heck do you have them? Oh, well, I'm, you know, we're friends and buds and, you know, and, you know, whatever. And I'm a maverick. And it wasn't long after that all of a sudden, you know, they turned on him because he just keeps changing. He's flipping around all the time. So Jon Stewart, I guess he's not going to have him back anymore. And if he does, it won't be for, you know, lack of him knowing that he might punk him. So there is a demographic out there that's enormous. It's young people. When I go around, I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Michigan. I'm going to Michigan for the final LP state convention before I go to the national convention in St. Louis. And we've had a lot of really good guests over the last few weeks that I've really packed it up for the show to make sure that when I'm gone and we have a rerun, you got some good shows. And I get people that predict what's coming, you know. So even though it may be a couple of weeks old, you'll go, hey, they predicted, man, they had it going on. What was the crystal ball they had? Oh. Well, I leave tomorrow. I go to Michigan, and we'll talk about these very things. You would imagine, that the Libertarian Party has a lot of young people in it, tie-dye-wearing, dope-smoking, gun-toting rebels. Not really. No, they've kind of gone outside the party. They've gone to be more revolutionary. You know, they've actually started to engage the man. They're challenging the cult of the omnipotent state. I'm trying to bring that back. I see that's the future. I understand it. I know it. I feel it. I've witnessed it. I've been part of it. This next generation is our only hope. We're going to depend on what? I'm putting my faith in the young. Hopefully you'll join me. We'll talk to you soon.